of the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones and the recognition of religious truth, in the hope of eternal life that God, who does not lie, promised before time began, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, so that you might set right what remains to be done, and appoint presbyters into every town, as I directed you, on condition that a man be blameless, married only once, with believing children, who are not accused of licentiousness or rebellious. For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able both to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute opponents. The word of the Lord. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you seven times in one day and returns to you seven times saying, I'm sorry, you should forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
Verbum Domini.
Happy Veterans Day to our EWTN family, those here in the chapel and those at home viewing, listening, who served our country. Thank you for your service and for your sacrifices you and your family have made to ensure freedom and peace. Your sacrifice and dedication are Christ-like. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We especially remember wounded veterans who, because of war, are left with serious ongoing trauma in their lives. We pray that the Lord console you and your families and to help you to carry your cross all the days of your life. And then this month, particular in November, we pray in a special way for those who have lost their lives serving their country. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. May their souls and all the souls of the faithfully departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And thank you also for your prayers as I was away visiting the EWTN Vatican Bureau for over a month in Rome. As EWTN employee chaplain, I visit Washington, D.C. once a month for about 4 days. But our Rome office, I visit about once a year for over a month period of time. So I'm extended visit, not that you noticed I was going or anything like that. I'm sure you didn't even notice. It's good to be back on American soil. I'm still a bit jet-lagged. Sunday's Gospel of the Poor Widow sets up the course of teaching for the rest of this week. She gave all she had, the poor widow, everything that she had, her whole livelihood, nothing to spare. She was empty-handed, poor, but not poor in love, not poor in faith, not poor in confidence in God. What faith she had. Total trust and confidence in God. What seemed like so little of an offering was immense in God's eyes. Our Lord sat down and observed how the crowd was putting money in the treasury. What does this gospel communicate to you? The gospel of the poor widow. Jesus sat and observed. God sees everything. He sees everything. And this is nothing to be afraid of. God sees all. Nothing escapes the Lord's vision. He is blind to nothing. In him there is no darkness. Everything as if in the light. After the original sin committed by our first parents, Adam and Eve, what happens? They hide. Like we do. We hide. we hide from God. They hid because they were naked. Most of all, they were no longer clothed with grace. They had lost sanctifying grace, and they had severed their relationship with God. It wasn't so much about their clothes. They had lost their relationship with God. They had severed the most beautiful thing, that relationship with God. That's why they hid. And what does God ask our first parents, Adam and Eve, next? Right after the sin of our first parents, what does God do? Where are you? Where are you? Of course, God knew exactly where they were. He saw exactly how our first parents broke the covenant, broke relationship, and then he immediately reaches out to them. Something that Monsignor Bransfield said last week on Friday really struck me in his homily. He said that God doesn't throw a temper tantrum when we sin. We throw temper tantrums. Not just children throwing temper tantrums, but adults throw temper tantrums too, in our own way. God doesn't throw a temper tantrum and pound his fist or pound his feet when we sin, when we break relationship with God. He immediately reaches out. He immediately provides the path for salvation. He immediately calls us back to himself. You can say he immediately reaches out his hand and picks us up willingly. We can choose to hide. We can choose to reject God. He provides the path for salvation. He provides and desires to rescue, the perfect rescue mission. Last Monday, the Servant Sisters of the Home of the Mother announced that the opening ceremony of the calls of beatification for Sister Clara Crockett will take place on January 12, 2025. Sister Clara Crockett was born in Derry, Ireland in 1982. And I encourage you to watch the documentary on her life. EWTN has showed it. It's called All or Nothing. All or Nothing. I've watched it quite a number of times. And it's an amazing documentary of this young girl who desired to be famous, desired to be an actress, had incredible natural gifts from God to communicate, was enthusiastic, was full of love and everything that she did. All or Nothing. You can get it through EWTN Religious Catalog or simply look at it online. All or Nothing. It says everything about her life. Giving the Lord all, just like the poor widow, giving everything that she had and being empty-handed and realizing in giving everything that she had everything. And she was poor in hand, but not poor in love and faith and in hope. Sister Claire died tragically on April 16, 2016, when a 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck the Ecuadorian province of Manabí, killing 673 people. And she was living down in Ecuador teaching at a school, and an earthquake struck, and she was caught in the rubble. And there was many people who survived, who got out of the rubble, but many people weren't. And Sister Claire was one of them. There's a picture of her. I know it's very small, but just her smile says everything. She had this radiance. They had a lot of footage of her life. It's one of the beautiful things about technology nowadays, especially with what we do. We have lots of footage of Mother Angelica, for instance. And we have lots of footage of her teaching and her interacting with people. And in this video, All or Nothing, there's all kinds of footage of Sister Claire even before she entered religious life. And her talking about her struggle with sin in her life. As the Lord was calling her, feeling that pull from the Lord to join the home of the Mother Sisters, just this other simultaneous attack from her, from sin, from the evil one. And she struggled with alcohol and just turning to the Lord and asking to have mercy. And she's a beautiful witness of perseverance, someone that wanted to give all, again, all or nothing. It's either all or nothing. One of her sisters expressed that after her perpetual vows, Sister Claire would offer the Lord every day a blank check. Every day, a blank check, so that the Lord could ask her whatever he wanted. Imagine writing on a blank check. Her sister in community said, and since she did not want to deviate from the will of God, she asked the Lord every day to change her plans. Change my plans, Lord, whatever I want, whatever I am doing, whatever I think is good. If it's going to deviate from your will, your plans, change them. Wow. Whoa. Change my plans. I give you a blank check, Lord, to do whatever you want to in my life. I received this card of Sister Claire, and it has a piece of grass from her tomb. Leave it to me to have something like this. And I ask, in a particular way, there's a special intention. I ask for all of you to pray for Sister Claire's intercession, for a very special intention, as her cause is being introduced to the church, to ask her intercession for a special healing for somebody that truly needs it. The Lord Jesus has already paid the price. And speaking of a blank check, he's already paid the price. He's already paid the ransom for your life. He's already given his life for yours. He already paid the price that was unpayable by human standards, by his passion and death. And each of us was worth purchasing by his precious blood. Again, that poor widow in Sunday's gospel gave everything that she had. She was empty-handed. She had the faith and confidence that God would provide. And this is what the Lord Jesus saw. Not so much what she put into the treasury, but he saw her disposition. He saw her faith. He saw her hope. He saw her love. And in the gospel this morning, the apostles begged the Lord Jesus to increase their faith. Our Lord even sees this need in each one of us, this poverty of faith that we have, and the poverty that we have when it comes to forgiveness in the gospel. When it comes to forgiveness, we can only forgive with the help of the Lord. Truly forgive. No matter how many times we are wronged, we need the Lord's help in order to extend forgiveness. just as the Lord extends his forgiveness to us and picks us up, we need his help in order to extend that forgiveness to anybody that has hurt us, no matter how bad they've hurt us. Unwillingness to forgive might even be more devastating than the effects of war itself. Unforgiveness wages destruction on the mind, body, and soul. And this is even proven by modern psychology. What unforgiveness does to the mind, to the body, and to our soul. Come, Holy Spirit, increase our faith. Help us to forgive those who have wronged us and to surrender the debt owed to us. Lord, we give to you what scraps of forgiveness we have to offer, just as that poor woman, the poor widow, put in all she had. We put in all we have. And we trust, Lord, that you can make up for what is lacking, because we are truly poor, and we can't forgive without your help.